You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
If you don't listen to the playbook, you deserve 20 fucking whacks.
So should they call the Commonwealth Games something else?
They shouldn't have it.
You don't think so?
Well, people that speak English because they didn't have a choice games, how's that? I don't know, mate. I don't know. I was listening to a report on the World Service, and they were talking to athletes, and they were so pleased to be there. And I got it as far as they were concerned, and what you're saying, it should, you know, the athletes get a lot out of it and all that. But I don't know.
I think it's important to shed a light on the extremely talented athletes that we have on this side of the world. Although, yeah, should we call it the Commonwealth Games? Or
but
can
you,
it be
yeah, but
else?
You've had, like, just a little while ago, there was some world championships going on. So, it's always happening. And athletics is always happening.
Yeah.
And it is only people that England had conquered. Well, no, actually, there's some countries. Well, in it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
true.
I think there's a couple of African countries that maybe it was just Belgium or someone like that fucked them over. And they were introduced to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, mate. I don't know.
It's one of those.
What's even ironic? Britain get beaten at everything. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I guess that's some. I was going to say, I guess that's some sort of like revenge. It's not.
Of course, it is.
Nothing is worse than what England did.
I don't know. I'd like to know what other people think about it. Really, as far as the athletes go, I get it 100%. You know, that they're into it and they win a medal, and it's got to be a good feeling, but...
Nothing's worse than colonisation, man. Nothing is worse than colonisation. Actually, no, there's a lot of stuff which is... Oh, I don't know. Jeez, I'm going to stop talking. Anyways, welcome back to the playbook.
Oh, we started, haven't we? Because okay, cool.
Yeah. All right, unless you want to restart, start swearing
it
off.
Nah, fuck it, we've done it, we started. That's all right.
I'm Joe, I'm joined by Rob.
Yeah.
We have, you know, the playbook's kind of been on and off lately, and so I think
we're just going to put it down to the situation of what's happening in the world, and it's happened to where we are.
Yeah,
lots of people off sick and shit's happening.
Yeah, everyone's got different stuff going on.
Yeah,
but we'll try and revive it. We've got some exciting stuff coming up, and I think that
you might have a big announcement, mightn't you?
Of all the other things going on.
All I'm going to say is Premiership footballer. It's got nothing to do with what you're going to say, but I just like a bit of a teaser, you know what I mean?
I'm signing with Chelsea. I'm proud to announce... Oh, wait, no, I can't. No, I'm signing with... No,
you're not a racist, mate.
Yeah, true. Anyways, I guess I real quick, I want to start off with England, the women's team winning the Euros 2020.
That was amazing. Did you see that goal, that lob?
I think I did, but I saw it on the news.
Absolutely amazing. It's absolutely fantastic. The women's team have achieved what the men's team hasn't done for over half a century. And we beat the Germans, who are a fucking good side.
Yeah.
Really good side. Up to that point, up to the semi-finals, they hadn't conceded a goal.
Really?
All the way up to the quarterfinals. I think France scored against them. But when it got to extra time and it was 1-1, I was sitting there and I'm thinking, no, this can't be fucking happening. If it goes to penalties, I'm going to throw my TV out the window because we will lose. The English have a mental blockage when it comes to penalty shootouts. We're shit. If that's what happened in the Euros against Italy, as soon as I knew it was extra time, I switched the telly off and I just walked into the garden. Carried on walking for 3 days. No, it happens. Do you know what I mean? So to do that, and the buzzy thing is, they will be over here next year because it's the Women's World Cup next year here in Australia. So hopefully England will be playing here.
Really? Oh, okay. Is that next year?
That's next year. There was 87,000 plus at that game at Wembley.
Wembley, that's insane.
It's so good for the women's game and women's sport in general. It's fantastic. Yeah, I was made up. I was actually, I'd like to send them to the World Cup, to be honest with you. They'll do a better job than the men's team. We've got a good team, but they're just shit when they, I don't know. Well, it's, anyway, I don't want to go there.
Who knows?
That was absolutely fantastic. Congratulations to them. I was made up for
More importantly, it's significant because it's an inspiration for girls and women who pursue and play football.
Oh yeah, and other sports and any sport now, you know, it's as it should be. Do you know what I mean? And to get a crowd like that at Wembley, and the crowd weren't sticking rockets up their arses like they do when they watch the men's team.
Yeah, it's very inspirational for younger girls and women who are pursuing that sport. You know. Yeah, guys, it was super cool to see. We've got some other news in women's football. Real quick before we get into the Premiership football, which is coming up, and that is in Africans women's football. Homophobia still poses a barrier. In Nigeria, ex-players allege that they were discriminated against by officials privately and publicly over real or perceived sexual preferences.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Nigeria is renowned for homophobia. Yeah. As is a lot of African countries, I think.
Yeah.
Just outrageous.
So it's more or less Nigeria's hegemonic decades-long dominance over Africa's women's football scene has long masked the dark secret that homosexual players are not allowed. Now, it is, for us, it's shocking to hear that, but, you know, I feel like something definitely has to be done sooner rather than later, preferably, but I'm not sure about...
Well, all you can really do is exclude countries like that from world football. That's sort of one thing. But then, you've got to do something, although it's only the players that really suffer and the fans, but you've got to do something.
It's quite hard.
But it's society. It's just not football. It's the whole sort of... society over there is so homophobic anyway.
It's also Nigerian parliament where in 2014 they passed a bill into law prohibiting same-sex unions and making them punishable by as much as like 14 years.
Fucking outrageous, mate. Outrageous.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate to see that happen, and hopefully some sort of change can be brought about that, and we'll report on it when it does. Maybe we can push for it. I don't know. It's definitely quite hard when it's happening in another country. Anyways, so that was the two women's football news and more important football news.
Oh, yeah, Premiership. As like overall. Stops.
But we'll get into the Premiership because you told me last week you wanted to talk about
real bad. It's been a real short break because of the World Cup. So I think it starts actually Saturday, New Zealand time, that Arsenal are playing Crystal Palace. So that's a Friday night game in the UK. And the games can come thick and fast because it's like November time, football worldwide stops and then the World Cup kicks off.
Yeah.
So, that's anyway, apart from what Tottenham did over the break, I haven't really paid any attention to anybody else, but I'm sort of doing it now. For me, Man City are going to win it again. Although they didn't look very good when they played Liverpool, the Charity Shield, the other day. They lost 3-1 and they look so unfit, like fat almost, some of them.
Mm.
But we all know they did that last season. Tottenham, we played them the first game of the year. And I remember saying the only way, you know, if you're going to fight someone, you know they're going to beat the shit out of you, right? So what you do is you wait until they're waking up and you just mug them. And just hit them with everything you've got, right? And that's what we did to Man City because we beat them the first game of the season when
just
we were really quite crap.
Pure will.
You know, I know, and everybody knows, at some point they're just going to kick in and they're going to win 14, 15 games in a row because that's what they do.
But that pure relentlessness as a team can, like, that if you believe in yourself enough, you can obviously win anything. And as a team, that's, you know, boost the morale, that's obviously greatly going to increase your chances of winning a game. And I say that as an armchair critic of football. I barely watch
football.
Well,
no, the crowd, sometimes they are the 12th man, without a doubt. They can make so much difference.
Yeah.
But I think, Man City is going to win. Liverpool are going to be the nearly men again. Now, I'm going to put it out there. I think it's going to be between Chelsea and Tottenham who get third place.
Yeah.
Tottenham, we've done some real good business. I won't go for all the players. Don't really matter to you if you don't like Tottenham. And if you do, you know who we got. But we got some good players. We've got some more to come as well. They're backing Conte, who is without doubt one of the best managers in the world. And I think we're going to get third. We're not good enough to go above Liverpool or Man City because they're a different class. But I reckon give it another year and we probably could be. and then Chelsea, and then I reckon Arsenal is, I'm gutted, they've done really well as well in the transfer market.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, they could be up there. Man United, Christian Eriksen, sorry, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Where's he headed? Is he still in Man U?
Well, he doesn't want to be, but no one wants him.
Should he just go back to Europe? Sure.
Well, no, he wants to, but no one wants to buy him. I forget who it was, some Italian club, like Atletico, some Spanish club. He was going to go there, and the fans, like the ultras, now they're Spanish, right? And there's no disrespect to those supporters, because I can't write Spanish like they can't write English, but they wrote a banner saying Cristiano Ronaldo not welcome here. So they'd taken the trouble to go to Google Translate to translate into English just to show how much they didn't want him there. And they could have done it in Spanish because Ronaldo speaks Spanish. His ego has overtaken him. He's 38 next season, and he was a great player, but he's not anymore, and he's dragging the club down. Do you know how much he's on a week? £500,000 a week is his wages.
Just to be
underwear model.
Oh, okay.
He didn't go to the overseas, like they always go on tour in between seasons. Didn't go on that. Didn't play any of the friendlies, and only played. He played a friendly game the other day, got subbed, just got walked straight off, had a shower and fucked off. Didn't even stay at watch the end of the game. Just went home. He's gone. No one wants him.
Oh, okay.
No one wants him. Yeah. I'm loving every second of it because I don't like him. I've never liked him. Arrogant twat.
Is it interesting? Well, would you say that the era of Ronaldo and Messi is slowly fading away?
Oh, yeah, for definite. Yeah, Messi's really done nothing since he's gone to PSG.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. He's been gone for a couple of years, really. Ronaldo, he wants to play Champions League football, but no one wants him, especially those wages. Who's want to pay for it? Nah. These days as well, that sort of player, back when he was into it, all they ever did was score goals, right? And that's all he's great at scoring goals, but forwards, attackers do other things now that he won't do. They give you other options. You just look at Harry Kane. Some of his passing is just unbelievable. It's trippy what he does. I try not to have expectations because I always get let down by Tottenham, but I think we'll do all right. But there's a little bit of me think we might fuck up at some stage. But I don't think that's going to happen.
High hopes for the season, Rob. High hopes for the season.
Third or fourth for definite. How are we going to Champions? I think we will win something this year, although we say it every year. It's like Del Boy says he'll be a millionaire this time next year, but I think we will win
something.
You
never really know, because last season was so unpredictable. I remember.
Oh, we were predictably unreal. We were shit. We had Nuno. We had two managers. We had Nuno. He was just so out of his depth. I felt sorry for the bloke, really. But we got a good manager. But other teams have bought good players like we have. So who knows? You just don't know. We got Southampton. It's our first game, but our second game is away to Chelsea.
Yeah.
And after that game, then I'll say how I think we're going to do. But people are saying teams have finished already. We haven't even started. So I don't even know why some people bother. Yeah, that's it, really. I could go on more about it, but, you know, what's the point? If you know about it, you know about it already.
I mean, shout out to all the Commonwealth people from New Zealand over representing our country at the Commonwealth Games. In track cycling, Aaron Gate won gold, Campbell Stewart won silver. We have Elise Andrews wins gold, and women's Kieran. Michaela Drummond won silver in the women's 10-kilometer scratch race. We had Andrew Jeff.
Scratch race. Scratch cards.
Scratch race.
What does that mean?
Checking
it. Look.
I'll just Google it.
What is it? Because I've never heard that before. Scratch race. I mean, I can think what it could be, but
we could have a guess.
Pretty obvious.
A scratch race in cycling. A scratch race is a track cycling race in which all riders start together, and the objective is simply to be first over the finish line.
Scratch your opponent.
Yeah.
Because normally if something's scratched, you say, that thing was scratched. It means it's like been cancelled or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's essentially just first over the finish line after a certain number of laps. The UCI regulations specify that a scratch race should be held over 15 kilometres for elite men and 10 kilometres for elite women. I think it's just first over the finish line after a certain number of laps. I'm not too familiar with cycling rule set. We actually had, I think there was another one more gold. Andrew Jeffcoat won gold in swimming in the men's 50-meter backstroke final. Joel King and Paul Cole both advanced to the single semi-final of squash on day 5. We are ridiculously good at squash. I found that out not too long ago from some good mates of mine.
I wonder why that is.
I'm not sure. I'd love to do like a playbook special on just squash. Squash.
I played it once with my ex-wife when we were really angry with each other, and it was great because we ended up laughing, but just smashing the shit out of the ball. It was so fun.
Yeah. It looks fun, but it looks tiring as hell.
Oh, yeah. 30 seconds, that was me, mate. I was done. Dusted, mate.
The women's four to play Fiji for bronze and lawn bowls. Paramen's pair to play England for bronze.
That's what I like. They've integrated the Paralympics in a para games in with it, which I think is really good,
because the Commonwealth Games would probably get a little bit more coverage than the Paralympics, although actually I think I'm not sure.
Oh, actually, I remember, it's, I know something else interesting about the Commonwealth Games as well. So I'll tell you. Yeah. The cricket, there's actually T20, and it's just the women's cricket, first time it's ever been in it, and all the venues are almost basically sold out for it, and again, amazing for the women's game.
Damn.
Because apparently it's going to be in the Olympics next time. The next Olympics, they're going to have T20. It'll be men's and women's, but this time it's just the women's game there.
Yeah.
Showing, yeah.
Well, we're doing pretty well so far. So, we've got swimming Eve Thomas into the women's 800-meter freestyle final. We've got Alex Mukuka, I believe is how you pronounce his name, into the men's featherweight quarterfinals. We've got the 3x3 basketball. The New Zealand team did lose to Canada 28-18 in the quarterfinals. Same, the women's lost in the semifinals to Canada as well. Beach volleyball doing pretty well. They beat Ghana in their pool match. We've got the men's duo as well as in beach volleyball. They won. They beat Tuvalu in their pool match. We've got weightlifting. Megan Singh.
Big breath there. You're right, mate.
Yeah, I'm just. It's so much. So much. We're doing so well.
It's like the gig guy, isn't it?
Yeah, women's weightlifting. We're doing well. We've got swimming. We're doing well.
So all in all, we're doing really well.
Silver Ferns, they beat Malawi 69-50, and hockey, the Black Sticks did lose, the men's team did lose. And yeah, that's that for the Commonwealth Games. Real quick, I want to brush over some fighting stuff.
Yeah, I want to ask you about something as well. It happened a couple of weeks ago.
Alright, real quick, Kai Carter France unfortunately did not win over the weekend.
Read that. Yeah, he got a bit of a battering, didn't he?
He didn't get, I think him and Brandon Moreno are so high level, and Brandon Moreno is just so good, and caught him with a liver kick. He was looking for that kick. He'd set it up a few times. I think he'd go high with that jab and then come up with the head kick. I think that's what my mate was telling me. I haven't watched the full fight yet because I was working that day, but yeah, caught him with that liver kick, very, very sneaky in the third round. Blood Diamond, I mean, unfortunately, I love Bloods, and I think he's going to have a real bright future in MMA, but he came away with the loss via unanimous decision. So, yeah, I still have full faith in him, though. I think it's, it's all part of the come up. There's a couple more things which are, I guess it's actually one thing in total because they're related. But I want to touch on how we're seeing fighters who don't have these picture perfect undefeated records, or these maybe 1, 2, 3 losses, where people they've lost one or two times, but they're still just as good because they're in the title contention. I want to put this out there that your losses do not define you as how good you are, and now we're seeing that, right? Kai Carter France has nine losses, I think, and I think Brandon Moreno was at one point at the bottom of the pile in terms of in his mixed martial arts career. They scratch and clawed their way up regardless of how many losses they had, and now they're at the top, which is what I think the sport should focus more on, that as opposed to having these that Floyd Mayweather effect where all these fighters who are undefeated and maybe they have padded records and blah, 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 blah. I just don't think that zero or that one, two, three losses on your record isn't a good indicator of how good you are. You can have like 14 losses and still be a world champion and still be the best, right?
Yeah.
Just like in any other sport. But I guess because fighting is a lot more on the line.
I think for me, like with other sports, like team sports, I think a loss sometimes does you good. You can get complacent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We, in our tour, we went to South Korea and all that, and we had a win and a draw, and then we lost to Roma. In Tel Aviv, I was quite upset. The tournament actually went to Israel, but anyway, that's a different matter. And we lost, and I quite like it because it stops you getting a bit cocky and thinking, you know what, we're bulletproof here. The manager, although it was a shit game, refereeing decisions, but that's neither here nor there. But the manager would have ripped the shit out of them. So yeah. I think it's good to have a loss. It gets you a bit more humble as well.
Yeah. Now, on to the major thing, which is last week at UFC London, Paddy Pimblett was fighting.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, actually.
And I knew you were going to bring this up because something similar was said at the end of the Danny Garcia versus Jose Benavidez Jr. fight. This is boxing on Sunday?
Yeah.
On Sunday night. Paddy Pimblett did come out last Sunday and publicly mentioned of his friend committing suicide.
Yeah.
And the importance of men's mental health.
Well, he said, I'd rather have my friend cry on my shoulder than me cry at his funeral. That's one of the most beautiful things I've ever fucking heard. It was such a, and for someone like him to say it, didn't give a shit that he said it from his heart, you know what I mean?
You have to say
he's a bit of a knob, but I like him.
I think that it has to be normalised talking about, especially in any sort of athletic venture where
especially saying
it's
macho
involved. Yeah.
Or what appears macho to me. That's like testosterone fuel. People are going to rip your fucking lungs out through your nose sort of people.
Look, there's nothing for more macho and bravado than being honest and with your feelings and yourself.
Of course, mate.
Because it's the hardest. It's
that's
one
a
of
real
the hardest
geezer
things
does
do,
that, mate.
You know, but Danny Garcia, after his loss to Jose Benavidez Jr. on the weekend, did come out and say something similar. He publicly admitted that he was dealing with quite a bit of anxiety and depression because he had quite a long layoff. I think he had last fought Errol Spence, I believe, before fighting this weekend. I think he had fought... Yeah, so he had... He beat Jose Benavidez Jr., majority okay, I thought he lost, my bad. So he beat Jose Benavidez Jr. Sorry,
fucking hell, mate. You know, I took at least 10 minutes doing my shit. You just switch your laptop on. Oh, sorry, trade secrets now. Edit that bit out.
Yeah just no one can know that I'm never prepared when I come in here. So he was coming off a loss to Errol Spence Jr., who's like one of the best boxers in the world. Beat Jose Benavidez Jr. That was his last fight, was like 2 years ago, so almost 2 years ago. So he came out publicly, stated that he was dealing with that, and I think it's such a powerful thing.
Let's hope some good comes out of it. You know what I mean?
Because it's just there's more. It's bigger than just a sport, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
I love people using people that have got a platform using it for good rather than being a complete dick, which most people seem to use them for.
I mean,
So I think it's fantastic, and I applaud the geezer for it.
Yeah. Now we've also got Cricket Scotland's governance coming out as institutionally racist. That's one of the bigger issues I wanted to get your opinion on. An independent review finds the leadership
I'm not
of Scottish
surprised.
Cricket. I mean, this is the leadership of Scottish cricket responsible for institutional racism. The leadership practices of Scottish cricket have been found to be institutionally racist. Jeez, they really.
Unfortunately, because most of the board members are probably about 105. And
there was
horrible.
There was a similar scandal to this as
Yorkshire.
Well. Yeah. The review was published on Monday. It was like 2 Mondays ago, following a 7-month investigation sparked by allegations from Scotland's all-time leading wicket taker. I believe the two wicket takers are Muslim, it found that the governing body of Cricket Scotland failed at 29 out of 31 indicators of racism set out by the consultancy firm leading the investigation. But the body only partially passed the other two tests, and there were 448 examples of institutional racism. Hundreds of people came forward to recount their experiences.
Yeah, I think it would have been a horror story from beginning to end.
The allegations include racial abuse, the use of inappropriate language, favoritism towards white children from public schools, and a lack of transparent selection process.
Yeah, no surprises there. Sad, but true.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good that it's all coming out. You know, what can you say to the people that go through that? Sorry, it shouldn't have happened.
But how do you...
But let's stop it.
I know that this is a tough question for anyone, because I can't think of an answer to it. But what do you do as the governing body? What do you do?
Education. That's all you can do. Educate people.
You'd step aside if you were the problem.
Oh, for
you'd
fuck's
have to.
Sake. Yeah, but they won't. It's old boys network. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, cricket is always perceived as an elitist sport anyway. Well, it is in England. It's all public school boys play that and rugby.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know. And, yeah, I've heard horror stories of people coming over from India and that were real good cricket players, but because they had a turban, they weren't allowed into the local club. So it's just fucking horrible.
I don't know. It happens way too often, man. Like, there has to be some sort of change.
Well,
all you can do is
it's through educating people.
Yeah.
See, it's not like people ask, because we all get it. It's the fuckwits out there that don't, and they're just so set in their ways, and they're just them and us, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's easy. The only thing, I guess, us as people that have like a platform on the media, just bring awareness to it.
I've always tried to do that. I've always tried to keep my politics out of it, although probably people know what I sort of believe in and don't. But no, we should be there for all positive stuff, really.
Yeah.
Even though we do get a lot of negative shit.
Yeah, I got called a work tard yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Trishul and I on the wire. Yeah. I mean...
we put ourselves out there, so you got to expect...
Yeah, we expect criticism. We take it.
I expect it. And I like it. It makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It's like, you do any better, you do it, mate. I don't care. No, I don't mean that. Yeah. I don't mean that.
No.
Do I? I don't know.
We'll move on. I think that's us for the playlist this week. We have some, again, like we said at the beginning, we have some real exciting stuff coming up. And
Premier League footballer.
Premier League football. We also have a lot of local stuff, and I'm excited.
Cristiano Ronaldo will be here next week because he's going to play for Auckland City, because that's the only team that will play him now.
Yeah.
Nah.
So we'll catch. Yeah. Cristiano Ronaldo next. Jeez. Making promises that I can't already keep. Jeez. Yeah.
Let's just see how many people are listening to this. Come on.
I'm excited to build this platform as much as we possibly can. And yeah, remember to follow us on like our social media platforms at 95BFM is the playbook and keep up to date. And yeah, I guess that's us. Cut.
Yeah. That's it.
We're
done.
See ya.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.